costumes and whacking each other over the head with swords, you know, and that's not science fiction. Science fiction is stuff like 1984 to me, dystopias, you know.
Like Man in the High Castle, dystopias.
Yeah. I mean, it's the novel of idea is still the cardinal thing in science fiction. All we got now is tedious sermonettes masquerading as literature, adventure, you know, space opera. I had a strange experience. I played over a X-1 cassette that somebody sent me for one of my X-1 shows that NBC did in 1954. And it was indistinguishable from the latest science fiction, like Space 1999, is that what it's called, and Star Trek. I mean, mine was as modern in 1954 as what they're doing now.
The one I
played over was Colony. Remember, we listened to that thing and we marveled that in 1954, I don't take credit for the radio treatment of it. I mean, somebody else did it. But what he was doing in 54, treating my story, was as modern as what they're doing now. You know,
well,
you wouldn't know it was done in 54. It was nothing to give it away.
We're going to find out, because if we have that tape of X-1 called Colony, we're going to run it tonight.
Well, I'll give you my cassette.
We may have it. There's a fellow named Bob Borgen who's given Hour 25, like, oh God, I must have 50 radio shows, Dimension X, X-1, etc. Mm-hmm. If that one is in there, I think it is, we'll run it.
Yeah, there were two of mine, Colony and The Defenders. And it was just scary to listen to it and look on the date, you know, 54. And realize, and here we are in 1976, and we've made no steps forward. You know, we're still, it's still as follows, you know. Captain, there's something hideous on the view screen. Captain says, turn on the laser beams. And then a voice comes out of nowhere, all looking under the seat cushions to see where the voice comes from. And it's talking through an echo chamber. It says, I can read your thoughts. I need your assistance. And they say it's a ruse. Get the eagles going. Eagles take off. We know this is a ruse. This is the captain talking from the control room. We know it's all a ruse. You don't need our help. You're going to zap us as soon as we take off to zap you first. And it's, you know, nothing has progressed. I am a superior being. I am a kindly old fellow. You can believe everything I'm telling you because I'm really a computer, and would a computer lie? And I thought, oh my God, I just saw that on the air Saturday night. And I said, that's Hal talking again. That's old Hal, you know, shining everybody on. My name is Hal. Would I lie? Would a computer lie? Herb Jaffe. He has an option on an Android Dream Electric Sheep, but I don't dare badmouth his silly movies.
I don't think I'll leave it.
What is that cutting the throat thing you guys keep doing? If you're listening, Herb Jaffe, I love your money. But you sure write lousy scripts, I'll tell you, man. You're a Neanderthal man is what you are. You're back in the Stone Age. You're back with George Pal. I don't want you to make a movie out of my book. I read the screenplay that they wrote for Do Android Dream of Electric Sheep. And it was a combination of Steve Reeves and Maxwell Smart. Why are they making all this cutting the throat motion? What does that mean? And I said, the producer, Robert Jaffe, Herb Jaffe's son, flew down to Fullerton to talk with me about it. Because I didn't think it was a final, you know, shooting script. I thought it was a rough draft, you know. And I says, I'm going to beat you up right here in the airport. I says, you're going to drag me down with you guys and ruin my career if you make a movie out of my book. He says, you mean it's that bad? And I says, yeah. And when I finally says, you mean you wrote that book seriously? He says, you science fiction writers take your writing seriously? I says, I'm serious enough to throw you right out of my car. I said, that's how serious we take it. I says, I'm going to buy that back from you. I'm going to give you the $2,000 option money back. I says, and he says, you're serious, aren't you? Then we had about a four-hour rap session, which was very productive. They didn't make the movie. They just continued to hold the option. And I'm hoping they don't make the movie unless they, you know, write a decent script. It was really terrible. I mean, it was the worst script. How bad was it? I'll tell you how bad it was. You could have stopped the first person on the street and asked him to write a script, and he could have done a better job. Really. And there's a guy I know who's into screenplay says it would also cost about $6 million to make it, which is another thing.
You wrote a screenplay of one of your own things.
Yeah, I wrote a good screenplay. I wrote a really good one of Ubik. And it seems to be the fate that the better the screenplay, boy, there's Gresham's Law. I don't know how it applies to science fiction writing in general, but it sure applies to screenplays, you know, that the bad screenplays force the good out. I mean, if given a choice, they will make a movie out of a bad screenplay, and they'll throw the good screenplay back at the author.
If I remember the Rolling Stone piece, that screenplay you did of Ubik is currently bouncing around Europe, trying to get financed. Is that still the case, or is that another?
Yeah, it's still option. They're still trying to get financing for it. It's not the director's fault. He spent all the money he had, Jean-Pierre Gorin, and he couldn't get the financial backing. He couldn't get the millions of dollars that he thought it would cost. And he got really sick. He got sick with liver trouble, and he had to give up being a director and go teach down in San Diego. And he just about died trying to get a movie made out of that. But I wrote a really great script. I must say, I wish I'd like to read it over the air sometime. There's the funniest scenes in that screenplay that aren't in the book that I added. That I went back to the old silent film days, you know, where there's these, it's a tragedy. That's the one thing I am bitter about. If I had written a novel with that stuff in it, you know what I mean? I wouldn't have any trouble selling it, but I can't sell that screenplay. And it's too bad.
We are close to running out of time. Let me ask you if there's anything in particular that we have not covered that you do want to get on, that you do want to talk about.
Well, let me just make one statement, and that is that I hope people will come into the science fiction field and write science fiction and not listen to people like Silverberg and Malzberg and Harlan Ellison and anybody else you want to name, Vonnegut, who say either they don't write science fiction or they never did write science fiction or they will not write it in the future. I mean, science fiction is a lot of fun to write, and it's worth all the bad financial breaks to do it. I mean, I don't regret for one, well, that's not true. I regret it when I turn off my electricity. I go through periods, you know, where when I sent off the manuscript of Flow My Tears, for instance, to my agent, I didn't have enough money to send it first class.